This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoling together with Koo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Helena Varke of the University of Malaya on the government's plans to scrap the Transboundary Haze Act. But before that, we have markets, because it was another stellar day in the US. The Dow was up 0.6%. S&P 500 up 0.4%, and also by the same amount, Nasdaq was also up 0.4%.
You know, of course, before that, Asian markets were in play. The Japan Nikkei was up by 1.7%, Hang Seng up by 2%, Shanghai Corp up by 0.1%, Singapore up by 1.2%, and Malaysia 0.2%. Also green, all sea of green.
And Malaysia record day, right? Trading volume, value, all.
Volume, value, fly.
Wow, it's amazing. Well, to find out, you know, or to maybe give us some sense of what's happening on the markets, we're going to we have Jack Kuzi on the line, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, can you hear us? The first question, RBA, your own, talking about down under, right? They held rates at historic lows yesterday, stating that the economic downturn was not as severe as expected. But we also know at the same time Victoria has had a lockdown and businesses closures are expected. Do you think the central bank could have been more hawkish?
Good morning, guys. Nice to see you again. Hope you're safe there. Thank you for having me on. How low can you go when interest rates are at 0.25? There's not much hawkishness to be done. I mean, Victoria is in lockdown at the moment. It's approximately around 20% of Australian GDP. But then we look at the rest of the country. You know, New South Wales, where I'm from, is still open. We've had zero cases in places like South Australia, the ACT, and Western Australia. So there are signs of an economic recovery here. And I think the RBA, who has, I think, managed this process quite well, is trying to be a little bit more patient and keep something in the bag. But, you know, while Victoria is in lockdown, we are seeing a reopening phase here. And I think there's a case for bullishness around.
Well, the Bloomberg forecasts say 99% of a technical recession for Australia. And as you say, interest rates are 0.25%. What's the probability of Australia even dipping into negative rate territory?
I think it's unlikely, to be honest with you. I think central banks around the world are going to be hesitant to go to negative territory. I mean, we just have to look at the Japanese and the Europeans to tell you what negative territory in terms of interest rates does for you. It doesn't do much for you. And I think the best test case recently is Europe, you know, who have essentially been in negative territory for just under a decade. So I don't believe the central bank here will go to negative territory. And I don't believe the Federal Reserve will go to negative territory. I think that's something that central banks around the world do not want to go to, and I think we can avoid that going forward.
And Jack, we know Australian equities are still down on the year-to-date basis, but if we look at the shorter term, it hasn't done too badly, you know. So what companies do you like on the ASX, and what are you particularly bullish on?
You know, guys, I've got a little bit of a confession to make to you online. I probably should make it offline. But sometimes when you ask me about Australia, I'm so concentrated on US Chinese equities that I sometimes forget what we do here locally. So I had to ask one of my local investment managers here what we own in Australia here. I had said this a couple of months ago. I'm still bullish on the banks here. I think their value in relation to European and US banks, I think they're very well capitalized. It kind of reminds me of the GFC when they cut dividends and then raise money, and they came out of it on the other end very strong. But in terms of some specific positions that we own here for our clients, companies like Afterpay, which is in that, you know, mobile payments section, A2 Milk, which has been a standout Australian company that not only makes milk but baby formula and sends it over to China. And we've also got a position on a kind of the re-emerging commodities play in terms of Worley Parsons here locally. So not our biggest exposure in terms of where we are in global markets, but certainly there are some bright spots here in Australia.
Yeah, Jack, so just as well, you've got a laser focus on US and China tech companies. You would have seen the latest impasse concerning TikTok and Microsoft. What's your sense at this point in time? What's your sentiment level on both tech companies in both China and America?
I'm so glad you asked me that. I mean, let's just talk about TikTok for a moment, because I don't get it. I just don't get it. I really don't get how this will work. You're talking about a Chinese company based in Beijing that is now going to cut off its most profitable or its biggest arm with 100 million users in the US, cut that off from its global positioning and sell it to Microsoft, the US company. I just don't get it. I don't get it how ByteDance wins here. I don't get how the Chinese government allows it. And I don't know why Microsoft, which has done very well from its enterprise business, wants to get in this hot pot that is, you know, this US rising US-China tension. So, you know, I said this yesterday on another channel. I just don't get this deal. And, you know, I look at a company like Wedbush Securities, which has been on top of tech globally, and they're saying it's a 75 to 80% chance that this deal gets done. So that is a melting pot I still can't understand. You know, when we talk about these two types of techs in the world, I continue to say this to people. There are two types of tech, US and China tech, and you should own them both. They are decoupling from each other. So, you know, in terms of the rising tensions, these tech companies tend to be quite bubbled around them because they are decoupled so much. And this is just an increasing amount of decoupling of the two largest economies in the world. So I can't wait to see how this TikTok thing plays out, because it is going to be a – I want to buy a bag of popcorn and watch this, because it's going to be really interesting to see them. I mean, so if Microsoft buys TikTok, what do you do? I mean, do you rebrand it? How does TikTok US now talk to, you know, TikTok Venezuela or TikTok Thailand? I can't get my head around it. But everybody seems to think it's going to be a simple deal, including President Trump.
Okay, so if it doesn't make commercial sense for both sides, Microsoft and ByteDance, then does Donald Trump and his government have the autonomy to do this and push this deal through? And if it does, what kind of a precedent does it set for other tech companies in China who are doing business in America?
Yeah, I mean, look, it does. There's some commercial sense for Microsoft. Don't get me wrong. They get this consumer arm. You know, they integrate it into the Xbox. They integrate it into Azure, into the cloud. I mean, there are some sense, but do they want to be there? I mean, considering they're the only company that wasn't in front of Congress last week around being too big and being too many pies. In terms of what kind of precedence and sense, it's a big one. I mean, let's assume that, you know, the Europeans don't like what Facebook does in a week or 2 weeks' time. Do they then say, hey, we want to take over the Facebook European arm? You know, that's the precedent it sets. And how does ByteDance win out of this? I mean, they've got enormous business in China, including Douyin, which has got over 200 or 300 million users. They're not looking good here. You know, you go to Weibo and Chinese consumer, social consumer, and they're looking like they're cowering down to the US government. So, I mean, I think I've got a good take on US-China relations, particularly US and China companies, but this one is just bamboozled me, guys. I've got my hands up in the air.
And Jack, do we dare ask what kind of valuations Microsoft should pay?
Well, I mean, they took care of the valuation and the share price rise on Monday, didn't they? I'm hearing anything from $15 to $40 billion. Now, ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, was valued at around $130 billion around 3 months ago. And you got to think that this is a major arm, because it's got 100 million daily or monthly active users in the US who use TikTok for about an hour a day on average. So I don't know. In the world of valuations, who knows? Who knows?
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group, saying that he doesn't get this acquisition of Microsoft.
Nobody gets it. No. I don't get it. Especially not for TikTok or ByteDance. It doesn't make sense.
I'm also curious how President Trump is going to claim a share of the profit, right?
he wants to take commission.
I know. I mean,
can you imagine?
I've never heard of the US government actually participating in a private deal and making some money from it. But hey, it's a bit of a crazy world out there, right? It is pretty much the new normal. But, you know, other news coming out from US is Disney, because their results came out last night and they reported second quarter earnings ending June. They had a net loss, unsurprisingly, of $4.7 billion versus a net income of $1.4 billion. You know, we know that their parks are, they have reopened some of their parks, but of course with physical distancing, the capacity is much reduced and sadly, no movies.
Yeah, so no movies, no cruise lines, no theme parks. The only bright spot for them was obviously streaming. And Disney Plus apparently has got like, what, 60 million subscribers already in the last year?
Yeah.
So the 100 million subscribers across Disney Plus, Hulu and ESPN. Apparently Disney Plus itself has got like 60 million, which is not bad going for what, about a year of operations?
Yeah, well, for those moviegoers out there, the good news is you are going to see Mulan, and that will be available. This is the first time ever a blockbuster will be actually streamed versus being in the cinemas. Maybe it is the new normal.
It might be the new normal. You know, who's going to go to cinema now, right?
Well, you don't know. Apparently, well, you can actually with physical distancing. But anyway, up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Helena Varkey, senior lecturer at the University of Malaya, to discuss the plans to scrap the Transboundary Haze Act. Now, stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.